bugs. Sometimes they can be cute and exciting. Other times they may be on a mission to enter your body through your ear and eat your brain. Or are they? Brain-eating bugs, today on Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Cautionary tales, stories that are passed down or around. But are they always true? Do we really know their true meaning or intent? This is the podcast where we dive into cautionary tales, superstitions, mysteries, and more to discover the truth behind the tale. This is Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Welcome to the show! Make sure to press that subscribe. It's me, Harper, and my co-host, my dad, Tony Bursky. Dad, did you ever find an interest for bugs?
Did I ever find an interest for bugs? Yeah. almost like an obsession. I did when I was a little kid. Are you interested in bugs?
Bugs terrify me.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do they terrify you?
Because it's just like, I don't really know what they are if I don't recognize one. But I'm fine with ladybugs. Ladybugs are fine.
Yeah.
But beetles and flies, those are the stuff that, like, no.
Is it because you don't know what they're capable of? Like, because yes. You know, like, a ladybug's not going to bite you. So are you like, okay, I'm fine with this ladybug crawling on me, but I don't know what this other bug is going to do if you don't know what it is. And is it like kind of the fear of the unknown?
Yeah.
But if you knew that, like, would you be okay with, what if the bug is like super spooky looking, like just menacing, even like looks like it has like horns or something that could dig into you, but they don't bite people. And you, if you put it on you, it just wouldn't do anything. Would that still scare you, even though it's kind of scary looking? But if you knew the context of what it could do?
I would be out of that room.
Really? No matter what?
No matter what.
No matter
if
what.
If it has horns on me, if it could bite me,
yeah.
If anything with teeth that is tiny and it's a bug, terrifies me.
Yeah, it would just be out, not something you'd ever mess around with. Yeah, I get you. Even if I know that it's not, I'm that way with snakes too. I mean, I respect the snakes now. I don't like go and try and get rid of them because I've learned that the a lot of the big and scary ones around here are actually very helpful. It's some of the smaller ones that are more, they're poisonous and more dangerous. But I never would be a person that'd be like, even if I knew the snake could not harm me in any way, shape, or form, I'm not someone who can just pick it up and be like, oh, lovely little pet here. No, if you, that's your thing, good for you. It's just not my thing. But that's how I am with snakes. But bugs are, the bugs specifically that I was most fascinated with as a child was ants, because we had so many of them. And we didn't have fire ants. We didn't have dangerous ants. We just had little black ants. We had little red ants. This is in Wisconsin. And my parents, my dad had this thing where it was like he'd want to get the ant hills out of the yard. But it almost became my mission that I took up, because whatever he was doing wasn't working. And there'd be like ant hills that were not like one little tiny ant hill. They'd be like colonies of ants. And so I made it my mission, like all summer long, I'd be like pouring water on these ant hills. I'd be doing all sorts of things. And eventually I'd eradicate the ants. But then I was bored. So there was no kids in my neighborhood. I had no siblings. I was playing radio station, which would be podcasting now, in my house. And when I wasn't doing that at your age, I was out trying to eradicate the ants from the yard. And when I ran out of ants, I would take a big old bucket into the woods and I'd find a big anthill. And I would bring new ants into the yard to restock the anthills. And I'd give them like a week. Then I'd go back to war with the ants. Some people would look at this and go, that's kind of reminiscent of what some serial killer childhoods were like. But I assure you, I'm not an unfound serial killer. I just talk about them on some podcasts. So that's the extent of my my bug stories.
Let's get back on topic.
Okay.
What are some of the legends that exist about bugs attacking people's brains?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of people that fear this. And, you know, for good reason. I mean, the idea of a bug entering your body in a place that you really, you know, you can't get things out of easily. That's your ear, you know, is a scary one. Your mom has a fear of this because she saw one time, I don't remember who it was, but somebody, she saw a bug crawl in somebody's ear. And when she was a little girl. And then I don't remember if she said it never came out or if it crawled out, but that was just enough. That was enough to scar her for the rest of her life.
Just like a tiny bug crawling.
Well, I would do the same for me if I saw it too. I mean, it would just like, oh, it just makes you, it makes you shiver.
It would scar me for life.
It would. But there are some legends out there about it that are there's some truth and there's some non-truth. And that's like a lot of things we talk about on the show where it's kind of a mixture of fact versus fiction. So here's one of the big incidents that gets spread around and socialized, and whether it's true or not, here's what it is. A little boy died because surgeons found ants in his brain. Apparently the boy fell asleep with some sweets in his mouth or with some sweet stuff beside him. And as you know, ants, they like sweet stuff.
Yeah.
Ants soon got to him. And some ants, in fact, crawled into his ear, which somehow managed to go to his brain. When he woke up, he didn't realize that ants were in his head. After that, he constantly complained about itchiness in his face. His mother brought him to the doctor, but the doctor couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. Took an x-ray of the boy, and to his horror, he found a group of live ants in his skull. Since the ants were still alive, the doctor could not operate on him because the ants were constantly moving around. The boy finally died. So please be careful when leaving food near your bed, when eating in bed. This might attract ants. And most importantly, never you or your child eat sweets before going to bed. You or your child might attract ants while you sleep. That could crawl in your ear and eat your brain.
That scares me because I have a bag of saltwater taffy right next to my bed. And that's going to give me nightmares and scar me for life.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not true. It didn't happen. But that's a story that goes around. It's called an urban legend. But people perpetuate this for years and years. And the lesson in that story, the only reason that story exists, why it's a cautionary tale, is because some mommy and daddy didn't want their child eating candy in bed at night. So ultimately, it gets back to don't eat candy in bed. Cut that sweet tooth out. And the only way they got that message across was by scaring their child by telling them that ants crawled in this little boy's brain and he died. Not real, but certainly is going to make you think twice about having taffy by your bed, isn't it?
I know it's not true, but it's still going to scar me for life.
another story here. A similar incident happened. This incident that is alleged is a similar incident that they say happened in Taiwan in a hospital.
Is this true? Let's
talk about the story. This man was in a hospital and was constantly warned by the nurses not to leave food by his bedside because there were ants about. He didn't heed their advice and ants finally got to him. His family members said that the man constantly complained about headaches, died. He had a post-mortem autopsy. That's where they look at the body when someone's dead. And they cut it open and look at things. And doctors found a group of live ants in his head. Apparently the ants had been eating bits of his brain. So friends, be safe. Rather than sorry, never leave food stuff beside your bed. when you go to sleep.
Is that another true one?
Are any of them true? Well, there's a number of files and flies that feed as maggots in the living tissue of vertebrates. Well, none seek out humans in their hotspot. People occasionally are affected by these incidents. Usually, entry is through wounds, though. The mucous membrane, body orifices, you know, that sort of thing. There are not any stories of maggots entering human ears or going to your brain or flies doing that. It doesn't mean that it couldn't or hasn't happened in some way, shape, or form at some place in time. But there are not a lot of validity to these stories. To say that's impossible, anything, I guess, is possible. But these are not based in fact.
Are you just trying to scar me for life now? Well, scar me for life
no,
now.
We're going through cautionary tales. And you're learning along the way that some things that are said are not real. Insects and other arthropods do wander into people's ears sometimes, which is a thing. So somebody's like, I've seen things go into ears, but this is the big fear. This is the fear that your mom talks about quite often, is the fear of them laying eggs in your ear. Because that would be like, oh my God, there's an infestation. The human ear can be an effective trap for small critters. The poor little deer simply, they blunder in there. They're trying to find their way out. They scratch around. The effect on the owner of the ear can be really maddening. It can often have all sorts of things. Our balance is affected in our ear. Our equilibrium is there. And it can wreak havoc with that if something gets in there. Water can do that as well. But yes, if you had a bug that did get in there, it could mess with you quite a bit. But it's not going to get into your brain. That at least there's no documented stories of that necessarily happening. There is a story, and this one is factual. Want to hear it?
Okay, just for the sake of the show.
John Hanning Speckie, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He was a person who tracked down the source of the Nile River. He recorded that the interior of his tent on his journey became covered with hosts of small black beetles, evidently attracted by the glimmer of his candle. Exhausted, Speckie went to sleep with them crawling over himself, only to be awakened by one of the little horrid insects struggling in his ear. Trying to remove the beetle only pushed it further. The beetle continued into his ear as far as possible. Then he began with exceeding vigor, like a rabbit in a hole, to dig violently away. The odd sensation was the amusing measure that went past description. What to do, I knew not, he said. After trying to flush the critter out with melted butter, it's never a good idea to put melted butter in your ear, he tried to dig it out with his penknife, succeeding only in killing it and increasing the damage to his own ear. Infection followed, distorting his face and causing boils. For many months, the tumor made him almost deaf and ate a hole between his ear and his nose. So that's when I blew it, he says. My ear whistled so audibly that those who heard it laughed. 6 or 7 months after the incident happened, bits of the beetle, the leg, wing, parts of the body came away from his body. That was quoted in his journal many, many years ago. He survived the ordeal. And obviously the beetle didn't burrow through to the other side or into his brain. But the incident was given fairly prominent place in the movie Mountains of the Moon, which is a very old movie. And that's part of how kind of that legend continues on and how people spread the story of, oh my God, you know, what could happen. Sticking bug-like things in people's minds is also a big thing that happened in Rod Sterling's Night Gallery. There was an episode called The Caterpillar, which aired in 1972, where it ends up a bug gets into someone's ear and it, you know, it, things go to hell pretty quick. So that's some of what has happened over the course of history when we're looking at bugs and what they do when they crawl into your head.
What if bugs really do get into your ear? What do you do?
What do you do in that sort of a situation? Well, you know, pouring butter in there is not a good idea. Sticking a knife in your ear is not a good idea. Those are never things to do. But, I mean, is it possible for a bug to get in there? Yes. But, and this is not medical advice, so don't take it as such. This is just me repeating what I've read on the internet. Consult a doctor would be the correct answer. But here's what I've been reading about. For a lot of people, you know, the thought of that bug getting in your ear, it's terrifying. But it's common. Bugs do get into people's ear. There's a few different ways that a bug can get into the ear. It can crawl in overnight while a person is asleep or fly into the ear when they're outside. If a bug does get into the ear, it might die right away. However, there is a chance that it will stay alive and continue to move around for a little bit. In most instances, the bug in the ear is not going to cause any significant problems, but it can occasionally lead to complications. Regardless of any of those dangers, most people want to get the bug out of their ear right away, whether it's going to be dangerous or not. In some instances, the person may not notice the bug entering the ear and may only experience symptoms later on. Most common symptoms of the bug in the ear are just pain and discomfort. The external ear and the outer side of the eardrum have several cranial nerves that relay information to the brain. A foreign object, such as a bug, can irritate those nerves. The insect might still be alive or might be buzzing, which could cause odd sensations in the ear. Depending on the type of bug, it may also repeatedly bite or sting while trapped in the ear, which can be very, very painful.
So basically what I'm hearing, just watch out for bugs.
Number one, try and not get them in your ear. They're not going to eat your brain. But if you are unsuccessful in getting it out, just like with your fingers, and I'm not saying like jam your whole hand or fist into your ear, but if you're unsuccessful, it really is something where seek medical attention, you know, to deal with what's going on. Because the stuff you're going to feel, you know, it could be feel like a fullness in your ear, swelling, bleeding, pus draining from your ear, hearing loss. You know, but those can also be symptoms of other things as well. But if you know, you saw the bug go in there, you know, what exactly do you, you know, how do you handle it? What do you do?
How do you get bugs out?
And like I said, you got, you know, your fingers, but essentially staying calm is big. That can be a way to help kind of keep the thing from freaking out too. Because you got to remember, it's in kind of a foreign place too and doesn't know why it's there or how it got there or how to get out of there. So it's essential to stay calm while trying to remove a bug from your own or someone else's ear. And again, I'm not advocating doing this on your own or on anyone else's ear. Seek medical attention. This is not medical advice. Although having a bug in the ear is unsettling, anxious situation, getting more anxious, getting more antsy, I'm not, pardon the pun, it can make it more difficult. So here's what the medical experts say. Tilt your head to the affected side and gently shake your head to dislodge the bug. Don't hit your ear. It can lead to more problems. If the bug is still alive, try pouring a tiny amount of vegetable oil into the ear to suffocate it. Again, not medical advice. I'm not advising doing that. I don't think I would ever do it. Don't do it yourself. That's what I'm reading. If the bug is dead, try to flush it out using warm water. Avoid sticking tweezers, cotton tip swabs, or other objects in your ear. These can push the bug further towards the eardrum, potentially leading to injury and hearing loss. So sticking stuff in there, not a good idea. Okay. If the bug is in the ear of a child with a history of ear problems, including frequent infections, sometimes tubes may be needed to be added. If there's a perforated eardrum, best to see a doctor as soon as possible rather than trying to remove a bug at home in almost all cases. And I've never heard that vegetable oil idea. That sounds horrible. That sounds scary. Maybe that's what a doctor might do, but it's not. Again, seek medical attention. Don't follow what I'm suggesting here on the show. This is just sources that I've found over the internet of reading about how people handle this stuff.
And also, I know we're a podcast, but you always got to look for different options and see what they do. Don't find a scam.
There's a lot of bad information on the internet. Yeah, I mean, don't get your medical advice from a podcast. Don't get your medical advice from just any website when it comes to stuff like this. Because that's the thing. When it comes to a bug in an ear or anything where you have limited amounts of it and the probability of damaging it is quite high, it's not something where you have a lot of room for error. You don't have a lot of room to be like, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have stuck that in my ear to try and fix this problem. Because if you break your eardrum, if you damage your eardrum, you can go permanently deaf. And you can also damage then your equilibrium, where your balance is always off. And then you could have vertigo, which is a problem that some people have where they need walking assistance because they're never feeling balanced. They're always feeling dizzy. So the ear is a real tricky thing. It affects a hell of a lot more than just your hearing. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, it affects your balance, and it plays a role with your other senses too, as far as sensing danger, sensing positive things, all sorts of things. It's something you don't want to screw around with if you accidentally do get a bug in your ear. The message or lesson that we've learned in this episode of Cautionary Tales with Harper is that a bug in your ear, very likely not going to eat your brain, but it can happen. It can get in your ear, but it can do other damage. Just probably not eating your brain.
Also, if you ever get a bug in your ear, go see a doctor right away. Don't try to do it yourself, because that's going to do nothing.
If you're not able to just take it right out, if it's more difficult than that, yeah. I had a teacher once. It wasn't a bug in her ear. I've always just been, I don't know, kind of creeped out, I get the heebie-jeebies when I talk about things in an ear. I had a math teacher in junior high. Really nice lady. She had to take about 2 weeks leave of absence because she, and this is not a bug, but it's again sticking something in your ear. She put a Q-tip in her ear, and a lot of people do Q-tips. I do Q-tips. Some doctors say Q-tips are horrible. Some are fine. It all depends how you use them. But she had a Q-tip in her ear and she was cleaning it out. And she was just out of the shower. And for whatever reason, I don't do this, but I guess some people do, and she did. She just left it in her ear when she went to grab her towel rather than taking it out. I never leave anything sticking in my ear.
Of course.
But, and you shouldn't, because of what I'm about to tell you. Cringeworthy. So she goes to grab her towel after she gets out of the shower. And she forgets she has the Q-tip in her ear. And she goes to dry her hair with the towel. So what do you do normally when you get your towel? You take your towel and you kind of like slap it on your head. And both hands kind of go towards where your ears are. And you're pushing towards the center of your head. And when there's no Q-tip there, that's fine. You just start kind of rubbing your towel around your head.
And going crazy with the towel.
But when there's a Q-tip there, she jammed it, boom, with her open hand and the towel straight into her eardrum. And it went through her eardrum and into her head. And then she had to go to the doctor with a Q-tip stuck in her ear because she couldn't pull it out. It was too painful to pull out. But the doctors did get it out, but it did cause permanent damage to her eardrum and her hearing in that ear, because of sticking something in there. And if you have a bug that's deep down in your ear canal and you think you're going to fish that thing out with a Q-tip, you could very easily do the damage, that she accidentally did when she wasn't even trying to get a bug out. It's just one of those things you got to be careful about.
Yeah. And also, if you have like something like jammed into your head, go to the hospital as fast as you can.
That's your lesson here, pretty much. That's what you're saying in like five different ways. If there's something jammed in your head, don't handle it on your own.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we've gotten that point across. So yeah, that's a story of bugs in your ear, what they're capable of doing, what they're not capable of doing, and how to handle such a thing should you ever find yourself with something crawling around inside your ear.
And that's why cautionary tales exist.
Exactly.
Well, that wraps up today's episode of Cautionary Tales with Harper. Make sure to subscribe wherever you download podcasts. And remember, if you don't ask the right questions, you may end up being part of a cautionary tale. For Cautionary Tales with Harper, I'm Harper Brewski.